Welcome to Banfield, everyone. More than a month after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars, it seems like no one has learned anything. And now it appears it's even more dangerous for comedians on stage and the audiences who go to see them, too. Last night, Dave Chappelle was violently tackled by an audience member at the Hollywood Bowl in L.A. Police say the man was carrying this replica gun, and on the right, you can see it has a nifty little blade that tucks inside it. And the gun may not be real, but the blade is. A witness who was sitting in the front row said that the hit was hard and that the assailant was wearing a backpack. She also said that she and others were allowed to bring in bags of food into the Hollywood Bowl, but that the bags weren't searched, that they weren't even opened. Yet the Hollywood Bowl confiscated people's cell phones on the way in, so it's lucky that even this exists. The security rushed the stage pretty much right after the attack, and Chappelle luckily was unharmed, but I think it's fair to say this could have been a lot more serious. News Nation's West Coast correspondent Nancy Liu has the full story tonight.
Well, Ashley, this happened as Dave Chappelle was wrapping up his performance here at the Hollywood Bowl last night. It's part of a Netflix comedy festival. But this incident raising new questions about stage security for high-profile celebrities.
Make some noise for hip-hop history.
Comedian Dave Chappelle tackled on stage while introducing a hip-hop artist. The attacker ran backstage where he was tackled and detained by security.
You jumped on stage.
LAPD arrested a 23-year-old man who was armed with a replica handgun with a knife inside. He faces a felony assault charge. Incidentally, fellow comedian Chris Rock was on the same stage earlier, himself the target of a stage attack by Will Smith during the Oscars.
Oh, wow!
After the new incident, social media documented Rock joining Chappelle on stage to also crack a joke.
Was that Will Smith?
Chappelle was not injured and joked about his attacker.
It was a trans man.
That joke, a nod to controversy surrounding Chappelle's past comments, which sparked backlash in the transgender community against the comedian and Netflix, which aired the comedy special. During his set, Chappelle had actually mentioned beefing up his personal security due to that controversy. But without physical barriers to prevent someone from storming onto a stage, the security assignment is a tricky balance. Just last week at CinemaCon in Las Vegas, actress Olivia Wilde directly approached while on stage by someone serving court papers. Those in the industry say more security matters less than quality security.
It's instinct for them. They instantly catch on to that, and they're supposed to stop the threat before it reaches the performer. When you really need them, one person who's trained to handle high pressure situations and know how to defuse the situation is going to be better than as many security as you hire.
The man who attacked Chappelle is reportedly an aspiring rapper with a song called Dave Chappelle, which references the Hollywood Bowl. And Ashley, how he got through security with that dangerous weapon is under review.
Boy, I'll bet. Nancy Liu, thank you for that. So I just want to show you, Dave Chappelle says that he's fully cooperating with the police, but there's no word yet on if he filed a report. This is what his spokesman released, actually, the statement that reads in part, Dave Chappelle celebrated four nights of comedy and music, setting record-breaking sales for a comedian at the Hollywood Bowl. He refuses to allow last night's incident to overshadow the magic of this historic moment. So let's talk about the Hollywood Bowl, where this happened. They also released a statement, and it read, quote, the safety of our artists and visitors and staff is our top priority. The incident that occurred at the Hollywood Bowl on May 3rd, 2022 remains an active investigation, and we are unable to comment further at this time. Please refer additional questions to the LAPD, which, of course, we did. We reached out to the LAPD, but they are not getting back to us with any further details on this. Active investigation. I get it. Chappelle, for his part, seems to be laughing this whole thing off. But when you think about this, is this really a laughing matter? Should comedians and those of us to go to see them be worried that at any show, somebody could pull a knife or a gun or a knife that looks like a gun whenever a comedian says something they just personally don't like? Tonight, the people who know exactly what it's like staring down a hostile crowd while trying to be funny on stage is this panel, an all-star comedy panel, including George Wallace, who's a very popular stand-up comedian and the author of the book Bull Twit and Whatnot. Aries Spears is a stand-up comedian and actor you know from Mad TV. Rick Overton is also an actor and a writer and a stand-up who hosts the Overview podcast and who's been attacked while on stage. And comedian Judy Gold is the author of the book, Yes, I Can Say That, and the host of the podcast, Kill Me Now. All right, to all of you, this is just a wonderful panel, and thank you so much. I'm going to start with you, Rick. You posted on social media about the time that you, you know, got attacked on stage, and your reaction, which was, don't come at me unless you want the business end of these. But I just want to get your reaction to what we witnessed on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl.
This, I am all for trans rights, and I am not for violence over a speech, even if you hate the speech. I think there has to be a boundary there, no matter what. And outrage alone should not be what you do. That's what the exits are clearly marked for. That's the other solution, is you leave and you don't come back.
Rick, what happened when the guy raced onto the stage and bum-rushed you? What'd you do? What had happened to you?
One of the times when the guy had his drugs timed for the music to come up, he didn't know there was a comedian, and this is in Philly, and this is in 79, and he comes up on stage all angry that there's a comedian first, and I took the mic stand, bass one, donk, put it into this area of his chest, and he went right back down into his seat again, and finally security, but the place is so tightly packed, security couldn't get to him. He was right here on the stage. He just got right up. So it was down to me. It's one of the first times I realized sometimes it's down to you, no matter what.
That's upsetting. It looked like that was the case for Dave Chappelle last night too. I mean, that this guy took him down. So Aries, talk to me a little bit about that. When you're, you know, when you're up there, I guess you're relying on the security of the venue. But ultimately, these guys can be fast, and certainly in those comedy clubs, things are tight, mm-hmm. things are close. That audience is real close by, Aries.
Well, you know, some clubs are better than others when it comes to a comedian's safety. There's some clubs you go into where you just know you're in good hands, and then there's other clubs where you go into where you kind of wish you had some of your fellas that you grew up with having your back. So it's all a dice roll at the end of the day. You know, comics being attacked in clubs is not like it's a thing that happens often, but it's nothing new at the same time. You know, comedians have been attacked physically since comedy existed. It's just that when Will Smith did it, he finally gave it a commercial.
Well, and you know, the worst part of that commercial was that nothing happened to him afterwards. And I don't know if that's going to spawn the copycat attacks, or if that attack on Chappelle had anything to do with the guy thinking it's open season. But George, mm-hmm. why comedians? I mean, is it because of the nature, George, of the audience is close, you're alone, so you, nobody else is really there to, you know, not a Broadway crew to come and take you out? And or is it really because comedians say controversial things? They push buttons.
That is our job, is to say controversial things, but you got to be thinking, like right now, after Will Smith and Chris Rock, and now last night, Dave Chappelle, I have already prepared, as you can see in my Twitter today, I'm now going to go out in a joke mobile, just like the Pope. Also, in the live performances, I'm putting up chicken wire, or like the WWE, I'm going to perform inside of a steel cage, because I'm going to be still dangerous and still telling jokes, but that's mm-hmm. It's really terrible what's happening right here, and we got to keep laughing like Dave did. No matter, we can't stop laughing. Aaron, he can't stop doing jokes. We cannot stop doing jokes, no matter what. You can put us up there with just off stage. We're still going to do our jokes, and it's disappointing. I'm hurt when Will slapped Rock.
Chris.
He slapped me.
Yeah.
I teared up. I cried. And today, I hate all Smiths. I don't give a damn what Smith it is. I don't like Granny Smith and her apples. To hell with her. I don't like Stephen A. Smith at ESPN. To hell with him. Emmett Smith. I don't like Emmett Smith. The uncles, the cough drop, Smith brothers. To hell with them. The Smithsonian Institute. To hell with the Smithsonian Institute. I don't like any Smiths now.
Leave it to George, right? It would take something that's so upsetting and make us
I'm cussing now. I'm going to F-word with the Smiths. Yeah, I'm cussing now, Aries.
Okay, I'm going to get Judy in on this. And God bless you, George, for making light. Because I feel it's a gut punch, too.
Right now. We grew up together. Everybody's on now. We grew up together. Rick and Judy and I grew up in New York together. Aaron is one of my kids. I don't know where the hell he come from, but he's one of my kids.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Judy, I want you to weigh in on the notion that we are laughing about it and the notion that we, you know, what George says, you know, keep on laughing about it. That brings to mind something that Dave Chappelle was doing. He was actually joking in his comedy special, I think it was called Deep in the Heart of Texas, about that time an audience member threw a banana peel at him and then was arrested for it. I want to play that Dave Chappelle moment and ask you about it on the other side. Take a look.
Not only did he throw a banana peel at me, but it was premeditated. You could tell. You could tell the peel was too brown. You know what I mean? It was like, he didn't eat that banana recently, motherfucker. You had that waiting on me. And the whole crowd was white, so it just got instantly creepy, and everyone looked like they were looking at 12 Years a Slave or something. They were always like... does that?
I tell you, he is so smooth. But Judy, I do have a question about joking about, I mean, I was laughing as I was watching that, but at the same time, I was a little worried that I shouldn't be laughing about an assault on a comedian, even if it was a projectile, because now we're seeing what's really happening. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no. I mean, you are and you aren't. Your instinct is to laugh, and that's what you should do. You shouldn't stop yourself from laughing. And we're all comics. We use humor as a coping mechanism, but it's also a weapon. And when it's used correctly as a weapon, it pisses people off. And I agree with everyone on this panel. First of all, Will Smith, not only did he not get, I mean, not go into the Academy Awards for 10 years is probably a gift, you know, but he got, that's his punishment. They stood up for him. They gave him a standing ovation after he assaulted a comedian. And the best part of that Dave Chappelle bit that I loved when he said premeditated, because it's all about intent. That's what comedy is about. What is the comedian's intent? What are they trying to say? Not how you perceive it. It's what are, you know, a murderer is sentenced by their intent. What were they thinking? Was it premeditated? And yet a comedian doesn't get the same respect when they tell a joke. There's intent, there's context, there's nuance. And the most important thing, it's not about you.
Listen, I've been attacked twice by two women in all places, Edmonton, Canada. I never knew Edmonton was so gangster.
Oh, man, I used to live there. It's not. It's such a nice place. I'm so sorry that happened to you in that place. That's the home away in Gretzky.
You were
I was I was trying to keep that quiet, George. You just blew the lid off my cover. I'm so sorry about that, Aries. That was a different
Ashley.
Person.
No, you and Ashley, right?
Yeah. It was
Chappelle.
Me and Ashley because Aries has been stealing my material for years.
So this is payback. Okay, Rick. I want to ask you, Rick, about Howard Stern, because he said something today that I think speaks to what we're all talking about right now. This was what he said on his show today. And I'm going to quote him word for word. He said, "This guy jumped up on stage and attacked Dave Chappelle. As soon as that happened, did they let him go back to his seat and laugh and sit next to his wife and then give him an award? No." And I mean, I got to say, you know, Rick, that's the guy got charged with assault with a deadly weapon. And Will Smith got an Oscar and got to go to all the parties afterwards.
Right. Little double standard. Well, if you look at a photo of him after the security was done with him, he looks like he didn't come out right from the transporter on Star Trek. Not everything's facing the right way. His arm is, he's like right. The $6 million man with $6,000. They didn't put him back right. He's completely rearranged. This guy,
look at that
I think,
arm.
Might be a message sent to all the other wannabe copycats out there that this is your future. Get a good look at that photo. That I think security is going to start getting a little more strict right now. I think you're going to see metal detectors in clubs and in venues now.
So that's my next question. And George, I actually That is sad. George, tell me that I'm not going to go to a comedy club and see protective glass between me and the comedian. No. Can you even do your job if that's there?
You could with the glasses, like being in a bank. The bank, the teller still does their job with the bank. I could do it. I could do it with the chicken wire. I could do it in the steel cage. Yeah, that'd be funny. And I'm going to do, I'm going to have everybody to come to the show. I'm going to put a leash on them, the chain. You can run to the stage, but you can only get so close. You know, I've been thinking about this in the last 15 minutes. I'm doing crazy stuff here. So we're having fun. See, you can't talk to comedians. We're going to make it funny no matter what, even though it was a bad moment, you know, and we don't like it. And with Chris Rock, I feel so sorry for him because he's got to live with this the rest of his life. And because 10 years from now, Chris Rock will be driving down the street, listening to the radio. Here comes the Gap Band. I said, oops, upside your head. I said, oops, upside your head. That's going to remind him of that the rest of his life.
But you
and
know what?
He's going to turn it to a white station, and Pat Benatar is going to say, hit me with your
like
best shot. It's just crazy.
He did come out smelling like a rose. I will say that. Out of that whole episode, he's, you know, Chris Rock
smelled
is
like
loved.
A rose, and, but he didn't come out smelling like a real rose.
Oh, all right, Judy, real quickly, talk to me a little bit about the security, because I'm curious about when you go to a club or a big venue like the Hollywood Bowl, who's responsible? Like, is the comedian responsible for bringing in his or her own security? Is the venue responsible? Is the management company responsible? And is that going to be something now that is a big, big issue? And it will be in contracts, it will be settled, and it will be black and white, and there won't be any fudging.
Well, I definitely think it is the venue's responsibility. Mm-hmm. That is like our office. That is where we go to work. And you should be able to provide a safe and pleasant, hopefully, space for us to perform our stand-up. It used to be that you would have a doorman because someone was yelling stuff and disturbing the other, just heckling. We would have security just for hecklers. And now it's to protect our lives. It's ridiculous. And all we want to do is make you laugh. That's it. We are there to make you laugh. That's the only reason we get on stage. It's crazy. It is the venue's responsibility.
So, I'll tell you what, Aries, I've been watching just what's happening out in the public. Like, I flew the other day, and there was a guy beside me talking about how his girlfriend popped off at the flight attendant on their last flight. And I sort of thought, you're proud of this? And I just wondered, you know, with the civility crisis that we seem to be experiencing in the U.S. Are you seeing that in the clubs? Like, how is it for you right now when you're up there? Are you sensing things are real different?
I'm not really, because, you know, being from New York and with my bravado, I'm very Floridian with my comedy. I stand my ground. But just to piggyback on what Judy was, you know, comedy is an intimate experience. So, you know, you want to be one with the audience. So the day you start putting in glass partitions or chicken wire or metal detectors, it takes away the intimacy of the moment, which is the fun. So nobody wants to do, you know, condom comedy.
Ooh, that's good.
Although we did have
I think
to
you
do
got a show coming
COVID.
Up in Pittsburgh too, right, Aries? You got a show coming up in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, this weekend.
Okay, well, good to know. So last question real quickly. Honestly worry about what you guys think about when you get up on stage, knowing that, you know, people are just willing to do this kind of thing, and it's very upsetting. Rick, when you get back up on stage the next time, is this in the forefront of your mind, or are you putting this aside and saying, show must go on, business as usual?
I've been through a few of them already, so it has been, every time it would happen, right afterwards, it would be on my mind, and then it would sort of blend into just doing the show again. But I got a note for you guys. If there's anybody coming up on stage, put the mic stand and the stool off to the side. Don't let them grab hold of it. Like, make sure that if anyone's holding it, it's you. It's just you.
You. I was going to say, don't put it to the side. Put it and give them a business end of it, right? Hey, Rick Overton, Judy Gold, Aries Spears, and George Wallace, thank you to all four of you.
You're not
for
getting
this.
Rid
and
of us now. We're staying on the rest of this damn show. You're not just going to get rid of us now. We come on TV to be able to. This is a series.
I'm
going to be
book
here
a
every
comedy special
you,
with
Ashley.
All four of you. This is every way too fun. You guys are the best. Thanks
thank
for making
you.
Light of it. I appreciate it.
She's canceling us already.
Thank you.
We've been canceling.
I'm not canceling you. I adore you. Thank you, guys. Okay, coming up, because I do have other segments. We got some new video in tonight, and it kind of made me do a what? Are you kidding me? This is the very moment at that Alabama jail where the jail guard just waltzed the career criminal right out the door of the very jail where she was a boss lady. There is a bounty on both of their heads tonight as the manhunt, woman hunt now enters day six, and some new information tonight that this pair actually got cozy years ago while she was supposed to be guarding him. The money and the guns that may help them stay on the run, that's all coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. They say love makes you do crazy things, but if Officer Vicky White did the things that she's accused of doing, she must have been head over heels. We've got some brand new video tonight from Alabama showing the moment that Officer White, the Assistant Director of Corrections at the Lauderdale County Lockup, just went ahead and walked her prisoner right out the door of the jail, telling everybody she was taking him for a mental health evaluation. She wasn't. The pair instead did this. They got into her cruiser. By the way, that's breaking protocol right there because they've got a two-officer escort policy there because of that guy, in fact. They had the policy because of that guy. Then they went and hightailed it past a gas station to a parking lot that was just 8 minutes away, where police say surveillance showed that the cruiser was swapped out for a getaway car. So there's some forethought. There's also word tonight that Vicky White and Casey White, no relation, have been in a relationship for as long as 2 years prior to this jailbreak. The sheriff told News Nation that Vicky actually visited Casey multiple times while he was being held in a prison facility. Not her jail, but at a prison facility. You know, because he would go back and forth between the jail and the prison, and she'd go visit him. A fellow inmate said that when he was at their jail, Casey would get extra food and special privileges from Officer Vicky. Which is odd considering he was locked away for 75 years for attempted murder, kidnapping, and animal cruelty, among other charges. And considering the fact that he was facing another trial for the capital murder, the stabbing murder of an elderly woman in her own home. Most would think a jail guard would be worried about associating with someone like that. But instead, Vicky White allegedly helped Casey escape the day before she was set to retire. And just 11 days before that, Vicky seemed to sell her home in a real hurry for just over $95,000, even though it was valued at over $200,000. It was enough for Casey's ex-girlfriend to speak out about just how dangerous this Casey White criminal is. This woman was the victim of Casey's attempted murder back in 2015, and Casey vowed to finish the job if he ever got out of prison. And he's out. Here's what she told WAAY-TV in Alabama. And of course, we are protecting her name and her identity.
Casey White is very dangerous. He's dangerous to everybody that is around him. And it's just, it's a scary situation. It's so scary for everybody involved. And, you know, I don't want anybody else hurt. Nobody needs to have to go through that ever.
What's your message to Vicky White?
If she's still alive, if she is still alive, which I don't know if she is, because I feel like he has manipulated her and she's disposable to him. If she is still alive, get the hell out. Run as far as you can and turn yourself in and contact somebody. Like, do the right thing before you lose your life or before somebody else does.
Another reason she may need to run is that the pair apparently has with them an AR-15 and a shotgun. I want to show you something that the authorities released. This is an image that shows the height differential between Casey White and Vicky White if you see them out and about. And do know that Casey's 6'9", so he's a big guy, and she's not. But that's effectively what they would look like if you spot this pair. Joining us now is Larry Levine, He is the director and founder of Wall Street Prison Consultants. He also served 10 years in 11 different prisons for racketeering and securities fraud, obstruction of justice, and narcotics trafficking. But he sure does know a thing or two about the way things work on the inside. Larry, I couldn't wait to ask you the question, and I worry about what you're going to say. That ex-girlfriend said, if she's still alive, if Vicky White is still alive. Do you think that Vicky White is still alive?
Maybe right now. Remember, this guy's been down for a long time. She's convenient sex for him, and when he's done with her, he'll throw her away. She's disposable. But him, like, manipulating her, it's a classic inmate staff maneuver. If you take a look at her, I mean, I don't want to get rude or anything. She's overweight. She's in her whatever 40s. She doesn't have a husband. No one on the street is probably going to look at her. But on the inside, she's a princess. And this is what happens. I've seen situations in three different prisons I was at where inmates were having sex with staff members. Usually it happens like in the medical unit because they can go into a room and close the door. Now, I've also seen in a county jail detention center setting where there's like a vacant cell open next door, a couple cell doors down, where the staff member will take the inmate in the middle of the night out of the cell, walk him two cells down, and I don't know, do whatever. So she's convenient, but does he really need her? Probably not. I mean, he can't hide. This guy's 6'9". If this was me, and I've done some consulting with people that had crazy ideas, she had plenty of time, Ashley, to plan this out, really. She probably rented a place, I don't know, 150, 200 miles away, stocked it with food, ammunition, whatever they needed, and they're just hiding out for things to cool down. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I know the mindset of the criminal and how they think.
Well, and you have a term that is used on the inside for people who cozy up to guards to get special attention. Yeah. What's that term?
We call them leg riders. They're riding the cop's leg for special favors. Extra phone calls, extra minutes on their phone, extra food, special visits. I mean, all kinds of things. She obviously provided some type of special services for him. We don't know to what extent, but people who cozy up to the cops, generally other inmates think they're like a rat or an informant. You're supposed to limit your contact with correctional officers. And this is a red flag. Inmates try to trade information to staff for their own personal use, their own favors. What really surprises me is that none of the inmates reported this to internal affairs or whoever. Now, maybe other inmates were in on it and knew what was going to happen. In a federal institution, when people escape, they generally lock the place down for about 2 weeks and they interview each and every person, each and every inmate. Now, right now, they're combing through his telephone records to see who he might have called. And they're probably getting her CDRs from her cell phone, her call detail reports. And they're trying to string things together. She's probably got a burner phone. But what she doesn't know, if she traveled and set things up in advance, it's kind of like the Capitol riot where they're able to track the cell phones. They could ping her phone and go back maybe a month. They can see all the places her phone was used at and use that as the location to concentrate their search.
I just, looking at this video, I just find it so astounding, Larry. And I got to wrap it here, but just the fact that they just walked out so cavalierly, he didn't even have leg shackles on, and no one said anything, no one questioned it, no one ever questioned her cozying up to him, no one ever noticed the logs that she was visiting him at the prison.
Well, I know you've got to wrap this up, but real quick, even in a federal institution, let's say a minimum security camp, where there's no fences, there's no cells, when an inmate goes on a medical trip, there's always two staff members with them. And this yep. should have been the initial red flag to whoever was there on duty watching her take him away. But She was assistant director of corrections. So essentially, she was the other cop's boss. So go figure.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, because they were holding him at this jail and they knew that he had intentions to escape, they had instituted the policy of a dual officer escort. And there she is breaking it right in front of everybody and right in front of the cameras. Larry, I'm going to ask you back, too, because I think that this this story is not over. And I think there's going to be probably a pretty ugly end to it. And I'd love to have you back. There's still so much more I want to ask you. Thanks for doing this tonight.
I agree, Ashley.
It's good to have you.
All right, honey. Take care.
All right, thanks, Larry. Still ahead tonight, if you owe money to a bank, to a credit card company, to a mortgage company, prepare to owe more, whether you borrow more or not. Interest rates are surging in hopes of bringing the surging costs of everything else down. The Fed declares war on inflation, but is it a war on you? What happened today is coming up next. Talk about a rude awakening. Millions of us came out of our pandemic lockdowns only to find the cost of just about everything had skyrocketed. And some things we just can't buy at all, but they're just not available. For many reasons, the pandemic and now the war in Ukraine, inflation is at a 40-year high. And so it was only a matter of time before the Federal Reserve took some serious action. And that time was today. Today, the Fed boosted the so-called federal funds rate, and they did it by a half a percentage point. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but it is big. It's the biggest increase, in fact, since the Clinton administration. And trust me, you're going to feel it. Credit cards, home loans, any loans that are tied to the Fed's benchmark, they're going to cost more as of tonight. News Nation's Tom Negevin joins me now to break it all down, make it make sense. Tom, explain how this is supposed to make everything better.
I feel like you've broken it down pretty well, Ashley. Good evening. And you know, that's the question. How is this supposed to make everything better? This is the first time the Fed has raised rate by this much in 22 years and the second rate hike just since March.
The current picture is plain to see. The labor market is extremely tight. And inflation is much too high.
The Fed chairman getting right down to it. Our economic struggles and the reasons for them, COVID lockdowns in China, the war in Ukraine, and a labor shortage here in the U.S. But the news, not all grim.
Households and businesses are in very strong financial shape. The economy is strong and is well positioned to handle tighter monetary policy.
The Fed raised interest rates in March for the first time since 2018 by a quarter point. Today, another half point, the largest increase since 2000, and there may be more to come. As Americans struggle with rising costs from the gas pump to the grocery store, businesses struggling too, from utility companies to winemakers.
You will see a price increase.
To the neighborhood flower shop in East Texas.
I have never seen shortages like we have in the past couple of years.
It's a different world right this moment.
The president getting ahead of the news at the White House today, citing the war in Ukraine as an enormous factor in economic disruption worldwide, touting his administration's work to pay down the national debt.
We're on track to cut the federal deficit by another $1.5 trillion by the end of this fiscal year. The biggest decline in a single year ever in American history.
And Ashley, that would also be $200 billion more than the White House itself predicted earlier this year. But tonight, Americans, as you point out, are going to be in for a lot more pain before we get there.
So, okay, let's end it with some good news, because today was weird. If you were watching the markets, they took off and the S&P had its best day in, I think, like 2 years. Why is that?
Rally late in the day. Wall Street obviously really liked what it saw today, I think in large part because the increase wasn't larger, 50 basis points versus the 75 some had expected. And it seems that larger rate hikes are off the table for right now, although we could see several more of them this year.
All right. Well, gosh, five, I keep reading. Just, I've got 10 seconds left. Is it really five more rate hikes, Tom?
That's what we're seeing. We're seeing that reported, but we're seeing a lot of things reported right now. A lot of it is speculation. And what I took away from Jerome Powell's remarks today was that he plans to be nimble because so much of this is out of America's control, right? Zero COVID in China, war in Ukraine. He's watching the metrics, watching the markets, and adjusting as his team of economists see fit.
Tom Negevin being renamed tonight, Tom Downer. Okay, thank you for doing all that great work from New York City. Thanks, Tom.
Eva, think bigger.
Welcome back. The earth is still shaking for people who expected Roe versus Wade to be the law of the land forever. But if a leaked decision becomes a published decision, abortion, as you know it, across the country will be vastly changed. Several states have trigger laws where it will be automatically illegal to get most kinds of abortion. And now some women are worried that some popular methods of birth control, like IUDs and the morning after pill, are going to be outlawed as well. News Nation's Tom Dempsey is live on this, and he joins us with some answers to these questions. So, Tom, how worried should people be about this?
Well, you know, there's still a lot to be determined with all this, but we can report that Google Trends actually saw a surge in people searching about medication abortions after this draft opinion got leaked. In fact, some of the protests that have happened here in D.C. following all that have involved concerns about women needing to use pills for abortions.
The leak of a Supreme Court draft opinion overturning Roe versus Wade has not only led to protests and rallies across the country, but also more questions and interest in abortion pills.
A huge increase in people seeking information about how they will be able to get pills if access is restricted.
News Nation spoke on Wednesday to Plan C, an abortion rights group that helps women find info on how to obtain pills for medically induced abortions. Since the draft opinion got leaked late Monday night, the group's website has seen 25 times more visitors. The spike comes after a study earlier this year by the Guttmacher Institute, an abortion rights think tank, found that medication abortions, which involve women taking two different drugs, now account for over half of all U.S. abortions. With 34 states already restricting the use of the pills, Plan C believes the overturning of Roe versus Wade could force women to be creative when trying to get the medication.
They will do a medical consultation online. They will give you a prescription and then send the prescription to an Indian pharmacy that ships the pills directly to your home.
The Susan B. Anthony List, an anti-abortion group, has voiced concerns about the use of the pills, saying they could put women's health in jeopardy.
This is one of those things that requires a doctor's exam. Not online, not over the internet.
Now, with the future of reproductive rights facing uncertainty, Plan C expects even more women to reach out for help.
So we do anticipate, you know, a lot of confusion, a lot of fear, and a lot more emphasis on some of these alternative routes of accessing the pills, which we know already exist.
Google Trends also continue to echo this surge with searches for how to buy Plan B pills spiking 10 times their normal amount. Also on the subject of IUDs, well, Ashley, we really don't know what's going to happen with this. Again, as I was saying earlier, so many things remain up in the air right now, and we just truly don't know the impact for that right now.
Yeah, and we don't have a whole lot of months to figure it out, but hopefully they'll get some answers and, you know, that information will get disseminated to people for and against in this issue. Tom Dempsey, thank you. Good to see you. Appreciate it. If Aspen, St. Bart's, Monaco, and Saint-Tropez are all getting a bit boring, have I got a vacation for you? How about space? I am not talking about Virgin Galactica, Blue Origin, or SpaceX. I'm talking about traveling to space and staying there in style. Pretty soon you can check into one of two hotels being built outside our atmosphere. And while on the outside they definitely look like rotating wheels orbiting the Earth, the inside is out of this world. Look at these pictures. A company called Orbital Assembly is behind the development. And aside from the regular tourism offerings, the hotels will also be outfitted with workspace, you know, for the more adventurous remote worker. Like most luxury hotels, there are showers and beds and restaurants, but unlike most hotels, the views of the solar system are just beyond belief. The first hotel, Pioneer Station, would offer space for 28 guests and could be open in as little as 3 years. The bigger hotel, Voyager Station, hopes to open its doors in 2027 with as many as 400 rooms. While the price points are still unknown, you can bet they'll be sky high. Yes, I wrote that. But here's the really good news. Orbital Assembly actually wants to make space visits more affordable and ultimately affordable and available to everybody. They aren't taking reservations yet. They've got some issues that they still have to work out, like navigating gravity and radiation exposure. But start saving now, folks. That's it for me. It is time now to turn things over to Marnie Hughes and Leland Vittert. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, may the fourth be with you.
Exactly. Well timed. Beam me up, Scotty. Ashley, thank you.